This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. As a wise man once said, just one normal day of Shelburne Football Club. The day might come, it definitely wasn't this past week, but nevertheless, the world keeps turning, time keeps ticking, the show must go on. Dazzler, welcome to the 1895 Podcast again. Thank you very much for filling in.
I did one episode duty and the whole club fell asunder, so.
Well, if you think that's bad, poor Ben Cleary went on holidays and came back to like a burning building. So, Ben, welcome back. How was your holiday?
Hello, Duty. I had a wonderfully relaxing week. Back for a day and everything fell to shite. So, yeah, pretty good.
Adam Leonard was straight into the question box, Ben. And all he wanted to know was, forget about managers leaving, forget about just the kind of manic few days it's been. He wanted to know how your holiday was.
Yeah, just nice to get away, nice to relax. My first holiday in a while. You obviously exclude the European stuff because you're working anyway.
Busman's holiday.
Yeah, so it was good. I enjoyed the sun. I sent you a picture, Duty, of my breakfast, lunch, and dinner most days. And pretty much every pint I had. So it was great to make you jealous at home, but I kind of karma got me by the time I got back.
Yeah, it did. Karma will always get you. Dazzler, you are right in the middle of all this. Look, Damien Duff's no longer the manager of Shelburne Football Club. Sad ending. But Dazzler, you it probably hit you in particular on Sunday because you had other things going on, didn't you?
I had a hangover. That was
But why did you have a hangover?
Sunday was my birthday, and it was well and truly ruined, completely ruined. Like I would imagine, every Reds fan, every Reds player, every Reds staff member, everyone associated with Shell's past, present, or indeed future, their Sunday was ruined by the news. It was just bolt out of the blue, very shocking. I'm very sad.
Sad seems to be the most common word. I think everyone has kind of used that one at one stage or another. I think it's more that it was the shock factor of it. It was like I was pottering around on Sunday doing a few bits and pieces, and all of a sudden start getting a few texts of people being, well, is Duffer gone? And you kind of go, no, he's obviously not. Like, what? Where's this after coming from? But Ben, you obviously kind of watched all this on from afar. After Friday, and look, he probably went in two-footed on the players, that's probably fair to say, in his post-match interview. Did you get any kind of hunch that maybe something was off, or that looked a little bit more, I don't know, maybe it looked a bit out of character?
Yeah, like, I just thought, watching the interview, I was like, Darren obviously gave me a heads up on it. He's like, just wait, it's quite explosive. And you see his other media before our in-house stuff came out, and it, like, look, performance-wise, it wasn't there, but I didn't know if that exact response was warranted. I don't know if it was just to try and prod the players, but it just felt like something different was there, something maybe changed, because it was very, very reactive, I think.
And look, among that, and it kind of, I suppose you'd call it controversial, probably end, it's important not to get away from the last 3 years, Dazzler, isn't it? Like, you've no better man to probably talk about it. You obviously had to work closely with him in your role. And, like, I just hope, I don't think it will. I'd be quite confident it wouldn't, but I wouldn't want that legacy to be ruined.
No, I think it's very much secured. I think people will remember what he's achieved, which is bigger than anyone else has ever been involved in Shelburne Football Club. I don't think any other person's had a singular positive impact. Like, I think the most other influential character in the history of the club, the long and storied 130-year history, is probably Ollie Byrne. But for someone who's just made a net positive impact, it's Damien Duff. And like what he achieved, what he done at the club, on the pitch, off the pitch, it's been transformational. Like, it's a very, very sad ending, because it doesn't really feel like he gets justice. Doesn't really feel like he gets to kind of enjoy the fruits of what he built. Like, I probably had thought about what it would look like to look at the Riverside when the Champions League music played, look at the players and the staff and the manager's face when the Champions League music was playing. And I think there's something very, very sad that that he won't have that moment, because he deserved it. But I don't think it's a sad, confusing end, but I don't think it will in any way dampen or hinder the legacy, because the legacy is probably the greatest single individual positive impact on Shelburne Football Club history has come from Damien Duff.
100%. And like, in this kind of mad football world or industry, whatever you want to call it, the show must go on. And I feared the match last night. I just wondered, this is too soon. Like, you know, it was very, very raw. And look, everyone will have seen like the reports of how kind of Sunday panned out and maybe the way it was left and all that type of stuff. But I worried about the game yesterday, just for the players, just emotionally even for the players. Because you look at some of them, Ben, the likes of like Mark Coyle. Like, Mark was a part-time footballer with Finn Harps, and he was working in, I think it was a Letterkenny hospital.
Yeah.
And like, I think Mark did say this to the manager, I think that was reported, that like, he's changed his life. He's changed so many of their lives. How would you have even gone about prepping for the game yesterday?
I think I'll prep. I don't want to say it goes out the window, but like, it's just very hard, I'd imagine, to refocus. But look, as Joey says, when he was talking about the game, like, it's the lad's job. Like, they had to just kind of get the head down, and performance wise, that's seemingly what they did. Obviously, you said the impact is massive for a lot of these players. Like, you look at, you said the likes of Mark Coyle, Sean Boyd, Paddy Barrett, like, dude, we've described some of the players in the squad and the squad that the manager's put together and built over the last few years. And it's the island of misfit toys at any given time, because you're looking at players that maybe wouldn't be the most sought after or the biggest named. And to be fair, he's had a profound impact on them. And it's obviously one that's, as you said, will last.
That will. And look, all the cliches have been used, you know, the show must go on. Dazzler, me and you were there yesterday. The show did go on. Ben, you had to watch on from your sick bed. Did you feel, Dazzler, that I don't think there was ever going to be massive changes to that game yesterday? Like, that, I'm sure that 11, I would imagine, was probably picked with last Friday's game in mind, and look, the way we play and all that type of stuff. Like, Joey was never really going to get a chance to put his own stamp on anything, really, I don't think. But did anything feel different for you, football-wise?
No, there's probably an element that, I don't know this, I might be just speculating, but there might be a case that Joey's first Shell's 11 was actually Duffer's, which is mad to think, because like, there was such little time between when the lads found out on Sunday morning and obviously when they hit the road for Waterford. Like, performance-wise, I think it showed an immense amount of fortitude, like, to go down there. It's so easy to just phone that in, and your mind literally can be in 100 different places, understandably so, because you've no idea what's happening. You've just had an unbelievable shock bolt out of the blue. It's football, right? So I don't want to be too blasé about it, but it did kind of feel like a death in that it was just so sudden, so unexpected and irreversible. So the football performance in that situation, as positive as it was, as good as it was, like, we were so desperately unlucky not to win that game. And aside from two very cheap goals, which I think, you know, I'm not one for referee bashing and story of our season are going to become intertwined because it was the story of our season. Aside from two cheap goals, it was a brilliant performance.
We did. We played so well. And I think that was the overriding thing for me after the game was, oh, they just deserved that win. Like, after the day or two they'd had, and even like the weekend they'd had, because look, to be honest, like, we were poor on Friday. There's no getting away from that. And I just, it would have been just brilliant for everyone. It would have been brilliant for Joey, for the staff, for the players, for the supporters. Because as you say, like, look, football is football. But it did have that feel, certainly on Sunday anyway. I think once Monday came around, it was kind of right, we've a game to go to now. But Sunday did, certainly in my house, felt like there was like a mourning period going on, or a grieving period. But Ben, as footballers, to go out after like that weekend, and like, we dominated that game. We battered Waterford. We were so much better than them. We had more energy than them. We created better chances, had more of the ball. Does that maybe put an end to maybe the criticism that was aimed at them on Friday?
I think it would, yeah. Like, I just, they came out, and as has been hinted at before, like, there always is usually a response when the lads maybe don't put in performance, and that was definitely a response. And as you said, not only deserved to win the game, but they kind of earned that win, weirdly enough. I know obviously you don't get the outcome you want, but like, there's times in the game where you're like just willing the ball in the net from where you're sitting, because you're like, come on, just please drop. The amount of times they scrambled it away off the line, or hit the post, or hit the bar, and you're like, story of the season, just one bit of luck to fall to us. But I think performance wise you can't really fault anyone, obviously bar the two defensive mistakes, the two errors, the two gifts. I just think overall we looked really good. I think there was times where Harry Wood picked up the ball, obviously very positive on the day, but he just drive past 3, 4, 5 players, and it's something that I'm happy to see more of now.
100%. Do you know one player, and look, there's a bit of him in the question box, I know people have kind of different views, but I felt it was probably the best game Meepo's had for us. Now, yeah. I think that was tied in with Harry and Ali Koo were definitely higher up the pitch, they were more connected to him, and I think that definitely helps.
That front three, I think, played really well together. I think Ali and Harry, I don't think, would have played much together. But when they do play together, they give you a lot of similar stuff, but a lot of very different things as well. I think Ali, as you said, very, very good. But Meepo, his runs, like, he just kept making those runs, and he looked really positive. There was one time where he cuts in and you just nearly expect it to go in, but it is good to kind of see him turn a page and maybe kick on, because that was, as you said, a very, very positive performance.
But I think the biggest thing for me, Dazzler, was Meepo didn't give the ball away much, and that's probably been a criticism I would have had, or I know a lot of people would have had, is that, like, if you're comparing him to the likes of Boydie, maybe, where Boydie will trap a ball and just drop it off, Meepo was a handful for Waterford last night. It's gas, because we're talking as if this is a surprise. Like, I think everyone knows it's there with Meepo. Maybe it just hasn't fully come out yet. Well, it definitely hasn't. That's for certain. But he did look like, I don't know, man, whether he, a point to prove maybe, but I know he's come in for a bit of stick from the terraces the last couple of weeks. Could be a little bit of that in his mind, but he did look a better player than he has.
Yeah, his first touch was really good, and that being something for a few weeks where he kind of did look a little bit short on confidence, and like, there's probably a couple of lads who are, they've probably become, like, it's very hard to be critical of lads who won you the league. So naturally there is this gravitation towards, some of the new players have been not as good as maybe we expected, ergo are bad apples. And like, I think there probably has been a very quick writing off of players who really just haven't had, maybe it's a mix of they haven't been as good as they can be or would like to be, and probably haven't had the confidence. So like, look, the only positive thing that comes from a bit of a seismic shift like this is there's a clean slate there, and last night felt like a clean slate for, definitely for Meepo, because he's looked better than he had been for the last few weeks. But I think there's sometimes a danger that people can then turn the other way and say, well, why hasn't he been like that for weeks? Like, there probably is a sense of a fresh start, a new era. It is, like, that's just a statement of fact. So I wouldn't be overly critical and kind of conflate the two of, oh, lads are trying harder now. I don't necessarily know if it's that simple. What I will say is there's been a lot of commentary around the manager's interviews on Friday that I just think are overanalyzing based on what followed. I think if he doesn't resign on Sunday, no one watches those interviews or remembers them as being remarkable. Like, there's a sense that, like, some kind of line was crossed. I don't buy that. I don't think it's true. I don't think it's fair. I think it's over hyper focusing on something to try and find evidence of what was to come that isn't there. I don't think, like, I actually think, I don't think he was overly critical. I don't think he overstepped the line. I think only he knows how much he puts in. And if he feels that he's breaking his bollocks and doing everything he can to lift the group and he doesn't feel people are meeting him at that level, I think that's a completely rational and fair way to express that view. So I do feel that there's an awful lot of looking back to try find signs and cracks that maybe weren't there.
Yeah, you could be right. I looked more into the kind of professionalism, that type of line. That was something that I kind of, and I said this to you last night at the game. Like, I watched your interview with him on Friday back 5 or 6 times, and like that, you're making mountains out of molehills and saying, oh, was that, like, was he kind of hinting at something here or there or whatever it might be? But it felt like poor Mark Coyle last night got torn all over the RSC for interviews. Naturally enough, club captain, he's the natural choice to go to. But there was kind of a bit of a, would you call it a bit of a defiance in him? There was certainly an element of, well, like, I take exception to people saying I didn't, or that we, the group, didn't prepare properly. There seemed to be a bit of,
both of those things can be true, right? Because only Mark Coyle knows how Mark Coyle prepared. Only Damien Duff knows what he sacrificed and what he puts in on a weekly basis. So, like, I don't think it's a case of one of them is right and one of them is wrong. Like, it can absolutely exist in a world where he genuinely feels in his heart and his soul that the efforts he was putting in wasn't being met by some people. But Coyle and other players can 100% feel and be right and know in their heart and soul that they were putting it in. Like, I just think that the Derry game, we were poor, but teams have bad nights, chalk it down, move on. That's human nature. Like, we're playing an awful lot of games at the moment. We won a Dublin derby in a very, very good way, in that we played very well in the first half and we're back to our defensive, resolute selves in the second half. That was 4 days before we played Derry, who did look that little bit fresher. And that was always going to be a game decided by a moment of quality. And to be honest, we've been short on quality at times for the last few weeks. So I felt that maybe there was, it was a very run-of-the-mill League of Ireland loss. And everything that came off the back of it was just completely extraordinary.
Yeah, I think, and that's probably, you'll have everyone and their mother now at the moment saying, like, he wasn't great for the league. Like, everyone seems to be kind of caught in this, either you thought he was great or you didn't. But probably goes down to the type of character he is, that so much has been read into that interview and the stuff he said after the game on Friday. Like, if it's a Stephen Kenny or somebody like that, or any other manager in the league that says something like that and then is gone 2 days later, I don't think it gets the same kind of, like, attention as this one did. But look, I
think the sad thing is you kind of, and again, it goes back to that fucking ridiculous overreaction of feeling like a death because it's so sudden. It's obviously not a death. Everyone is alive and well and healthy, but like, you do wonder, if something else had been a little bit different, would we still be here? Like, if we didn't have a game on Monday, what would we, Damien, still be here? If he had to rush off after the game and didn't do any press, would he still be here? You don't know the answers, but you're asking yourselves answers to impossible questions. And it just kind of comes from that sense of confusion and how quick it all happened.
But it is kind of just grief. Like, we said this when it happened in the group chat, when we were talking back and forth and do the RSX news around the day. Darren, I was on to you as well. It is kind of, you go through the five stages of grief where you're kind of at that bargaining stage and you're like, well, if we didn't do this or if this had happened, maybe things would have turned out differently. Because I think, as you said, with the shock, it is kind of like a death, and it's not the death of a person, it's the death of his role as the manager.
Yeah, it's, and look, I'm conscious of maybe not dwelling on it. You couldn't say dwelling on it. Look, it's a huge thing, the manager's left, but I do think there's a real sense among everyone. I definitely felt at the game last night of, look, let's just move forward. Let's, you know, we've such an unbelievably exciting few weeks ahead. Look, the natural talk now will spin to, well, who do you get? Who becomes the manager now? It's like, on the evidence of last night, and it's probably a massive compliment to like the work that's been done in the last 3 years. I would love Joey to be the next manager. I think the way he carried himself last night, he carried himself really well. He came across like a manager. They were well able to tweak things during the game. Like, I would certainly be very happy with Joe there. Is there an element of, like, is it difficult? And again, we're speculating. Like, we don't, like, have any details. But is it a difficult thing, Ben, would you say, for an assistant to sit in the big chair after the manager has gone?
I just think, especially with Joey, no. Look, obviously, we get to work close enough with Joe. You know who Joe is as a person, and it just seems like he kind of relishes those challenges. Anytime there's been a suspension and he's had to step up, he doesn't look out of place for any of these things. Like, players have talked about him as a coach and how he coaches, and his sessions in the AOL is Tuesdays. Like, if anyone deserves a crack at this, I think it is Joey. Like, he just, as you said, doesn't look out of place. He looks perfectly comfortable there. I think, obviously, we don't know anything in terms of planning. It's very early to speculate. We've literally just played a game. But I think it's Joe who deserves it for me.
And my thing on it would be, there's no major, like, it's not like we're bottom of the league and, you know, we've lost 8 in a row or something like that, where you'd want that kind of wholesale change of, like, right now, this totally needs to change. Again, it's probably a testament to the work that the club has done in the last few years that continuity can still stay. Like, Luke is obviously the technical director, so I would have thought any sort of transfer work or contracts or any of that type of stuff you'd hope won't be affected as much, because it's like a broader thing. It's not just one person, you know, calling all the shots. I don't know what it is. I got a good feeling last night, Daz. I think you kind of agreed with that on the way out. There was a definite sense of calmness leaving last night. That kind of, oh my God, what are we going to do now? I didn't feel that after the game.
No, I think it's, I think first and foremost, Joey, Paul Skinner, Mauro, Rory, the Doc, Davey Mack, Lukey, everyone involved in the coaching side acquitted themselves unbelievably. They were brilliant. In a shit circumstance, truth be told, there's no other way of describing it. It's a very, very difficult situation to be in, and they handled it brilliantly. They can be proud of themselves, they can be proud of people around them, and I thought, look, I'm not going to say anything earth-shattering, you won't be shocked, but like, why would you look at anyone except Joey? The only thing is, if Joey didn't want it, that would be a different thing, but like, if he does, absolutely keep the people there. Like, at the end of the day, they also won a league title. All of them are league winners, so I was looking at it, I was unbelievably impressed. And look, it's not an insignificant part of the gig is that you're the focal point of the football club publicly. You're the public face of the football club. And Damien was brilliant at that. Like, he was one of the best advocates publicly we've ever had in making sure that Shelburne's interests were at the central point of Irish football. Like, no one lived and breathed at Shells as much as he did. But when Joey stepped in front of the cameras yesterday, when he met the national media, he was brilliant, genuinely. And that's a very daunting position to be in on any level. But when you put it on the level that what's just come the 12 hours before, he's in that position because this sensational, shifting, earth-shattering thing has happened. But he takes it very calmly, in a stride, speaks absolutely brilliantly in every interview, with class and with grace and with professionalism. He was brilliant. He handled it so well.
To your point there, just Dazzler on Joey and the way he handled himself, and it's a daunting thing. I wrote down, it's one of the quotes that he had in his interview with you, and this, I think, has played a huge part in the mentality shift of people, maybe, of, right, yeah, we do need to just kind of get on with it here. He said in his interview with you, ultimately, the lifeblood of a football club is the fans, and those fans will be going out in their boxes. Literally, when they're going in their coffins, that's when they'll stop supporting Shells. Ultimately, once you have that support, this football club will be grand. I thought it was the perfect thing to say. Like, if you're sitting at home and you're a bit worried about us going forward, I think that is such an important quote that, you know, we'll be fine. Everything will be grand. Let there be no panic.
Like, you know, I can tell you now, Damien wasn't, and Joey won't be. Like, we don't sit around in rooms and think about sound bites. That's not how it works. So Joey's speaking from the heart, and speaking brilliantly from the heart, and saying not the right stuff for the sake of saying it, because he believes it. And I think that's the kind of... yesterday couldn't have gone any better, genuinely. It could have gone 50 times worse. But everyone can be proud, and I think especially the fans, because it'd be easier to make pantomime villains out of lads you think have been poor and have played a part in maybe the manager's frustration and decision to leave. But I don't think that happened at all.
No, it certainly didn't. And sure, look, while we're giving out deserved plaudits, I think Mark Hoyle might sum up Damien Duff's reign at the club the best, in that he gave a fella a chance, a massive chance, and that same fella went on to captain Shells to their first league title since 2006. Mark Coyle, after that game last night, even his performance during the game, but after the game, as I mentioned already, he got pulled to do every bit of media possible, and that is exactly what I would want a club captain to be. It's exactly the way I would want them to behave, to carry themselves. He was honest. He was up front. He didn't pull any punches when he you know, in some of the replies he gave. And I just think he deserves massive credit for it, because whatever about as good a footballer as Mark is, he's a proper leader, and we are in very, very good hands with him having that armband.
Dude, I will say, though, as Darren said, the staff can be very proud of themselves, but one thing I took from it, and the same with Coyler, is we can be very proud of them, to have them representing Shelburne Football Club and have them, obviously, the beliefs they have. Like, as Darren said, it's not a soundbite. It's not practice in the mirror. It's heart on the sleeve. That came to him in the moment. He said that. Sums it up well. It's just something we can be proud of, that, you know what, this could have gone really, really wrong. But he's steering the ship. It's been steered well. Coyler came out, represented the club wonderfully. Again, just people we can be proud of.
100%. So, moving on to Friday. We're heading out west to Galway. Dazzler, with the extra few days training and stuff, would you... Look, this is all just blind guesswork, I know, but would you be expecting anything different in the way of shape or a style of play?
I have no fucking clue. Do you think I sit in my week and think about shape and stuff?
I was trying to push it into turning into what you hate. But no, you didn't bite. You never do, in fairness.
There's one particular Red who will always send me little clips or little things, like pictures with circles around them and arrows, and wants me to get into I don't know about that stuff. I like football. I enjoy it. It brings me happiness. When we score, I'm delighted. When we concede, I am gutted. That's my very, very simple man understanding of it. When someone runs and tries for the club, I like them. When someone doesn't run and doesn't try for the club, I don't like them. I don't think about inverted that or extroverted that or anything like that.
Jesus Christ.
I take your point.
False widows and all this kind of stuff. I don't believe
it. Look, speaking of...
That just sounds like 4-4-2 to me.
Yeah, it does. Look, speaking of players acquitting themselves so well, and if you run hard and you try hard for the club, everyone is happy. Another victory for Owen Wearne's team. A 3-1 win, again, out west in Sligo. Another hat-trick. Shell's players are really just taking over this race for a golden boot at this stage. It's a little bit mental, but Kate Mooney obviously knocks in 3. Ben, another important 3 points. Look, from the outside in, people would have been expecting us to win the game. But as we've seen before, they can be extremely awkward. But big 3 points just keeps the train rolling.
Pretty much, yeah. Like we've said it all year, especially how tight it is at the top, you need to be winning week in, week out. Very unlucky, obviously, not to have that game, the game that was cancelled due to the weather. Maybe the games are going to turn out differently, but like that was a big one to miss. I just think with us and Athlone, it's 1 point that separates us. We just need to keep going. In terms of scoring, it's great to see us free flowing. It's great to see the goals going in. I think, as we said a good few times here, Pearl might be falling back a little bit in the race for Golden Boot. But look,
she needs to get her act together, I reckon.
I'd be happy enough if Kate Mooney fires in a hat trick every week, which, you know, could be on track.
Yeah, well, stranger things have probably happened. Look, on a more serious note, everyone here wants to pass on their condolences to Noelle Murray. Obviously, her father, Alan, passed away last week. So everyone here is thinking of you, Noelle. So take care. Look, again, this Saturday, it's another one of those games. Like, we're obviously, they're back in Tolka. It's that perfect 4 o'clock kickoff. I think changing it at 4 o'clock was just such a small thing, but I think it's very, very important for getting a crowd in and getting people interested. But it's a Galway team that are very, very, very capable of taking points off people. They went and thumped Waterford 7-0 at the weekend. They'll be on a high. these are the games, Dazzler, aren't they? These are the ones, those home games. Me and Ben have talked about it on here so much. You need to be winning your home games.
Especially in the Cup.
It's proper Jeopardy. Proper Jeopardy. I think the Pride Party is going to be on as well, because like that was obviously moved by the washout in Talca. It was a bit mad. Weather was beautiful on the Friday. The Saturday, the heavens open. Places like Sea Life, Aquarium and Bray. So the Pride Party is going to be rescheduled. That'll take place on Saturday. It'll be a brilliant occasion for the club. But like, every game matters. And it really,
especially in the Cup, as Ben says.
In the Cup, as Ben says. And actually on that Cup, it's probably important to mention, season ticket holders go free, which is often not the case in Cup competition. So get down if you can. Go along to the Pride Party. Loads of brilliant stuff happening. I believe they have an Elton John tribute act.
Oh, that's a bit of me.
That's a bit of you, dude.
Yeah, that's up my street now.
That's a bit of you. So that'll be a bit of crack.
And I think it's gates open at 3:15. I think it's, is it early enough? And there's ice cream vans, hot food, pretty much everything you'd want on a Saturday afternoon.
So you're telling me I could have ice cream and Elton John in the one day?
Rocket Man is back, but not as you remember. Ben, you're too young to remember Rocket Man, who served soup and wagon wheels from a big boiler on his back.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty much the best description I've ever heard of Rocket Man. That might be the most accurate description ever. And he also looked a bit like Paul O'Sam. But yeah, Ben, that's what he did. He basically walked around the stands with a big, massive burko on his back, which was filled with boiling water, and had like a little gun to shoot it out of. Very impressive.
So we brought a hot dog fella, but we couldn't bring back Rocket Man.
Well, that was the joke at the time, Dazzler, if I remember right.
But we don't have a hot dog man now.
Yeah, where's the hot dog man?
He's off with Teddy.
You're out there, Beer Baron.
Jesus.
For a bit of context on that joke, Doody had nicknamed the hot dog salesman Mr. Bean.
It's just not true. It's just absolutely not true. But anyway.
Doody, stop lying to the people. You call him Mr. Bean to his face.
Moving swiftly on.
Someone called him Mr. Bean.
This is probably a good time to go to the Richie Rankins. Like, there's an awful lot of candidates on both ends of this. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I have three of both. So,
Jesus.
I play the percentages. Dazzler, hit me with your Richie Baker first, please.
Ooh, I'm going to give it to Neil Doyle, the Shells co-owner, not the referee. Neil wrote a brilliant email to season ticket holders on Monday that went out, and it was from the heart. It was raw. It was unpolished. It was how he was feeling and what he wanted. He was hoping to obviously get through to Shells fans that, you know, we have a match. We'll keep going. It's what we have to do. It's all we know. And I have to say, when I was down in the dumps on Monday morning and I read it, it kind of gave me a bit of a, all right, fucking yeah, it is. It's, we still have to play Waterford. We can sit here and be miserable and be sad, or we can go off and do everything we usually do to try and help, either sing your songs or wave your flags or whatever role it is you have at the club. So I'm going to give it to Neil. I thought it was brilliant, brilliantly written email. I know that he's someone who can walk away from the weekend knowing that he did everything he could in the interests of Shells. I thought that email was a really nice touch.
Yeah, just on that, actually, in the question box, there was four or five. I've won there. Joey L is one of the names just off the top of my head that I can remember that did mention that email, and that it did give people an awful, like, I wouldn't say a kick up the arse, but a real kind of, like, we just have to move on, you know. We're in good shape. I think that's the important thing. We're in a position now where I don't feel we're vulnerable as a club anymore.
No.
Shauna Cook was actually another one who, she said, it's not a talking point. I just wanted to shout out the email from Neil Doyle. Great leadership. That pretty much sums it up, I think. From the top down, we're in a good space at the moment, so let there be no panic. Ben, you're Richie Baker, please.
For Richie Baker, I'm going to go with Luke Bourne.
Oh.
Just, in fairness to Lukey, he was obviously jumping in on the bench. He filled in where he was needed, and it's kind of just what he does. He just kind of gets on with his business and does what was needed, so fair play for stepping up.
Well, I've done all right, because they were two of my three. So it's just as well I did what I did.
You just got with Joe, haven't you?
I actually had four. So I'm going, look, Joey and Mark Hoyle can split it. We've already said why. Two icons. They're the exact people you want at your football club. We've said it all already. Just brilliant stuff. And we can be extremely proud of them. And they should be extremely proud of themselves. Now on to the good ones. The Richie Winters. Dazzler. Let's have it. Now, I only have one of these, so if you rob my one, I'm fudged.
I'm going to... Do you know what? I hate to sound like a big cringy fucker, but I actually don't have very many axes to grind this week. I'm a zen man. I don't have very many people I'm angry with, but I'm not going to give it because I'm angry. I'm going to give it more so because it's a little bit cringe. Kev Doherty giving out a fella because he didn't stand up, applaud them, and gave out about keeping the ball. And, like, I found that pretty funny.
Kev was kind of...
Total head loss.
Yeah, he's had a bit of a funny turn the last couple of months, hasn't he? Oh, he's gone from this really mild-mannered kind of chap to, like, having murder with people. It's strange. Not one I see in common.
An honourable mention for the rejects pile. Everyone that Damien Duff ever released from Shelburne Football Club scored last night.
Oh, it was mental. It was absolutely mental. You pointed out, what was the first one? It was Dale Rooney, I think, was it?
Dale Rooney, Jad, Shane Farrell, and
Dean Williams.
All scored last night.
Yeah, a very, very strange turn of events. Ben?
Again, I don't really have anyone. I think I might give it to... I have two. Sorry. I was talking about. One is for Darren. And I'm saying it because he's here. Because he obviously sent in that really old article about Kev Doherty.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was going to be about something else, Ben. There was a demand for me to be Richie Winter a few weeks ago that I was lucky the pod had a break.
Oh, actually, hang on a second. Yeah. Oh, this has to. No, I owe it to Mero to bring this up because Mero specifically wanted you given the Richie Winter, and the reason was you skulked into it was Sligo, was it?
Yeah.
You skulked into their dressing room in the darkness, up the stairs, and stole pizza from their dressing room.
That's not accurate.
What part of that is not accurate?
The lights were on. I didn't.
It makes it sound like they were there. Like they're gone, dude.
Hey, who's that guy? What's going on? It's like a ring in the guard. Someone just stolen two pizzas while they're in there.
Well, it's true. And you should have gotten the Richie Winter that week, but somehow it slipped under the radar. I can't remember why. We'd somebody else to be giving out about that weekend. But yeah, shocking. Absolutely.
Mero was very upset that I didn't get to Richie Winter.
He was. Hello, Mero, if you're listening.
He was so upset he DM'd the club account and forgot that I'd be the one that would see it. I was like, yeah, Mero, thanks for the polite burial here. It's Darren here.
Strange, very, very strange. Right, so Ben, you've given one to your brother. Who's your other one?
The other one was a Paul Stoddy article. I just didn't like the headline.
Go on.
It was obviously about the manager, but it was like, resign in typically dramatic fashion. It's like, I don't know, is there a need to say typically dramatic?
Yeah, it's just a bit fucking smart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, smarmy.
It's like,
balls, oh, hipster freaks, them balls.ie, lads.
Oh, look at me. I'm going to say typically because I'm just reporting the facts. That's what you're there to do.
I love PMAX and Rollies.
Many hipsters. Nice to see the podcast at least has gone back to normality.
Yeah, so they can get it too. And Stephen Kenny is safe for this week.
So how has Stephen Kenny not got it? He accused Galway of shortening the pitch.
Oh, I don't know. It's just, there's an awful lot going on at the moment, isn't there? My Richie Winter this week is actually, and in the grand scheme of everything that's been mentioned, it's a very small thing, but me and you laugh at this every time we're in the RSC, Dazzler, and it's the Waterford mascot. Because he's dressed as like a big blue fucking, I don't know whether he's a dinosaur or a bear or...
He's a goat.
A goat, whatever it is, yeah. But he just...
Why is he a dinosaur?
He takes off the helmet. He takes his head off and just sits there in full view of all the kids that he's meant to like keep up this thing. Oh, there's a mascot. And he just sits there, like with his big angry head, and I'm watching the game. And then when they scored, he scrambles to put his head back on, and starts waving a flag around.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Come on.
Can we tell the Alan Reynolds story about him and the mascot on this podcast?
Him and the mascot.
Yeah, was it Alan Reynolds or who was it?
Oh, just told him to fuck off home, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Fuck off home now and don't be annoying everyone.
Yeah, that was they were his exact words. Yeah, it was true. Yeah, so probably a bit of a mundane one, but it just makes me laugh every time. I don't know whether I should give him the Richie Baker or the Richie Winter, to be honest, but he's getting the Richie Winter for this week. I mentioned the question marks there a couple of times. Look, an awful lot of it is just Tank and Duffer and just shock and sadness and all the kind of, pretty much everything we've said already.
I want to address a question I got on the question box from friend of the podcast, Graham Watson. He said, why is Ben Cleary on the back of a milk carton?
Look.
I have returned from my holiday now, Graham. Don't worry. I'm back now. Everything can go back to normal.
And last game you were at, we were 6 points off the lead. We had a manager. Life was good. And then you went away and then you came back and yeah.
So I let Dougal do a funeral.
Sorry. There was a vox pop yesterday and no one better in the world to sum up the mood of Shelburne Football Club than Paul O'Bahany, good Reds man.
Lucas O'Dunn. Oh, I have it here. I just clicked into it and clicked back out. What an idiot. This man hosts a podcast. This man.
Duty can do a SoundCloud.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Lucas is begging for a pause to the Meepo stick. It's gotten out of hand, and if people don't rate him, that's their opinion, grand. But Roaring Dogs abuse at him is pathetic. I would completely agree with that. I just don't think... I just wouldn't do one for abusing players wearing red. We've said this loads of times. We've had absolute pricks play for this club before that have deserved abuse. None of this current crop do, in my opinion. Sean O'Kelly said... Who do people want in, as we can't have Joey as he doesn't have the pro license?
Ward.
Yeah. Sean, I'm pretty sure that's not true. Doesn't he get 60 days or something? And then I think once he's enrolled on a pro license, I think it's fine. So,
yeah, that's all in order. I don't think there's actually any impediment for Joey being there.
Again, we're talking as if he has the job. Like we don't know. I think we all just hope he does get it. An awful lot of people just... Basically, when will we have just a normal week and nothing mad happen? Don't know when that'll ever happen. I don't think it will. If it hasn't happened by now, it's probably not looking likely, I would have said. Jerry McMahon, who is usually just a wind-up merchant and just tries to wind everyone up, said, nobody knows what's gone down, but thanks to the manager for all the great days and memories that a lot of people will never forget. Hopefully he's doing well and we wish him all the best. It's over now. No time to stand still and feel sorry for ourselves. Massive few weeks ahead for the club's future. That's a very serious reply from Jerry. Usually don't get stuff like that, but Jordan as well just said, I had my moment on Sunday. The tears were flowing, of course. Of course, the timing is not ideal, and it was heartbreaking and shocking to hear the sudden departure. But at the end of the day, no man or woman is bigger than their football club. We've been through a hell of a lot worse than this. We'll be okay. Joey's the man for now. Let's get behind him like we always have done before. I think that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
I do think that at some stage we have to go through all the conspiracies and the voice notes and who was sending the voice notes, and is there conspiracy about who was actually voice was on the voice note? But some of the stuff was like,
that was wild.
We saw Principal Skinner and Mrs. Krabappel in the fucking baby stuff. Like it was demented stuff.
One of the babies looked at me.
The baby looked at you.
Oh, that's got me. Right, we're going before this takes a funny turn.
Dudey, what was your favourite Simpsons reference of the week?
Probably the one you sent me about I can't remember the two cops' names now. Lou, is it Lou on somebody?
Yeah.
Sitting in the diner. That might have been my favourite one.
You haven't touched your banana kaboom.
I just love how you had a particularly sad birthday. Can you tell? please, before we go, tell the story of how you got the news broken to you, please.
There'll be a day for that. It's not today.
When is the day where we get the conspiracies and like WWF GTV, we see all the videos and voice notes?
And then Ellis Chapman ran up and said this.
Yeah.
And then Meepo came in with a steel chair. It's all
so much.
It was me, Austin.
So much of it was just not true. And then there was what I heard, one that like Joey and Duffer like stood off like over towards the hedging in the AUL and just watched on from afar, and then just came over and said, yeah, we're leaving and we're gone. What's going on?
What's the thing you say, dude? Grown men.
An awful lot of grown men still talking about all this today after, I would say, and not Shelburne fans either. There was one person in particular who I found it very amusing that he was somehow still gone on about Duffer. Dazzler, I can't say anything else, but I think you know what I'm on about.
There's a lot of them. They're obsessed weirdos. Still, there was an honourable mention for Richie Baker. I'm going to give it to Dan McDonald, because on his podcast last week, he went on this brilliant rant about people giving out, saying, how come you're still obsessed?
Oh, this was great, yeah.
And he was like, well, actually, the data suggests we're not obsessed with him. You're the one that comments all the time and reads it all and says, this is stupid, why are you writing this? So all you're doing is proving the point that you're all obsessed with him. And if you don't see the value he brings, you're an idiot. And it was just this glorious fucking, I've had enough of this shit. I've been listening to you ages for too long. And Dan, to be fair, put the world to rights around. Like, there is people who will genuinely say, he hasn't done anything for the league. What's he done for the league? I mean,
yeah,
look at it after him.
Yeah, there's no saving some people. Right, we're there. We're done. We're out of time. Thank you both very, very much, Ben, for getting off your sick bed. Dazzler, for giving up your evening, because I know you're a busy man. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Doody. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you very much. Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.